This is KUT. I'm David Brown of the Texas Standard. It's not news that the U.S. publishing industry has been scrambling to respond to the digital age, including online bookselling behemoth Amazon.com. Amazon's been underpricing brick-and-mortar booksellers for years. But when a French publisher recently stood up to the retail giant, well, Americans took note. Now the scrambling has turned into an international scrap. Clay Smith joins us. He's editor of Kirkus Reviews. He knows all about this drama. He's based here in Austin. Clay, both in and out of the industry, folks have been talking about this now for, I guess it's been a couple of months at least. But we didn't know any of this stuff was going on until books started disappearing from those virtual bookshelves over at Amazon.com. What prompted this spat between Hachette and Amazon?
Money.
You don't say.
Yeah. Basically, Amazon is playing hardball and negotiating sales prices and other numbers with Hachette. You know, the surprising thing for those of us in publishing is that this fight has become pretty public.
How do you mean?
Because publishing is somewhat of an insular world. I mean, a very similar battle happened, I think, last year between Barnes & Noble and Simon & Schuster.
And nobody really talked about it.
Part of the reason for that is that Amazon prides themselves so publicly, and they should, on customer service. To say that a book that, you know, we all know is readily available, that you won't receive it for 2 or 3 weeks, you know, that's odd.
Do you think that there are going to be more publishing houses willing to take on Amazon as a result of the fact that Hachette has been willing to stand up?
I do. And it's not really confirmable or verifiable, but Penguin Group and Random House have merged. And so when they merged, the sort of scuttlebutt was, you know, one of the reasons that they're merging is to be able to go up against Amazon and other, you know, very powerful book sellers and negotiate with them in a much more tactical and powerful way.
Is that good for the consumer? If basically the publishing houses want folks to pay more for their books than Amazon wants people to pay, you know, I mean, who's wearing the white hat and the black hat here?
Right. I would say that it's not good for our culture because it is much more difficult to get someone interested in buying a book than in going to see a movie. Mm-hmm. And so that sell has always been more difficult. When someone goes to a site like Amazon or Barnes & Noble and are looking at a specific books page on that site and they feel sort of compelled by this story, to get them to buy it, they need to buy it right away. And they need to have the feeling that this book is going to arrive right away. That's one reason that ebooks have been so successful, because it's downloaded wirelessly.
Instant gratification.
And immediately.
This is really pretty fascinating. But I'll tell you what I'm really concerned about. I want to know that I've got something good to take down to the beach coming up here real soon.
Right.
And since we've got you in the studio, I mean, I can't let you get out of here until you've given us some of your own picks for summer reading.
Yeah.
You willing to play along?
Totally.
How about fiction? If you had to say, okay, here's the one book this week that I think is worth checking out, what would it be in the fiction category?
There's a great new book out that is titled The Rise and Fall of Great Powers.
And that does not sound like fiction.
No, it does not. And this is actually a trend that is happening more and more in fiction. There was this book maybe from 4 years ago called Special Topics in Calamity Physics. Like, you know, became this huge, huge bestseller. And it's a great book. But like, you know, on the title alone, who would pick that up?
Sounds like a textbook.
That's the kind of book that needs a lot of buzz, you know?
Right.
A lot of hand of word of mouth, kind of hand selling, as we say. But this book, it's by Tom Rockman, and he had a major sort of surprise hit several years ago with The Imperfectionist. And so it's a beautiful sort of story to his publishing career. It's really nice when the second novel, which, you know, we often think of as kind of the sophomore slump, comes through just as strongly, if not better than the first. So The Rise and Fall of Great Powers, it's about a woman, and her name is Thule Zeibelberg. And the novel begins at a small sort of nerdy bookstore in Wales. And all of a sudden, Thule is contacted by an ex who thinks that he has found out something about someone who was close to her earlier in her life. What happens is that Thule, a lot of awful things have been done to her that she has not remembered. So she becomes this detective of her own life. And it's something that has a lot of heart and that is a really sort of adventurous, big-hearted read.
That sounds fantastic. The Rise and Fall of Great Powers by Tom Rockman is your pick from the fiction aisle. That's now right. Let's move over to the part that I'm a little bit more fond of, nonfiction stuff.
Right.
You have one that you might recommend?
I do. And this writer is debut, so people will not have heard of her before. But the book is called Bulletproof Vest, The Ballad of an Outlaw and His Daughter. And it's by Maria Venegas, who is a Latina writer who is very well acquainted with violence, and in particular, the Mexican kind of violence.
As in South of the Border.
Right. So I wouldn't read this book if you're about to go to Mexico. but at all other times, it's a wonderful read. Basically, what it's about is that her father was a killer, a drunk, and really not a great guy. And he abandoned Maria and her family when she was, I believe, 3, mm-hmm. left Chicago for Mexico. He packed up all of his guns in Chicago and took them to Mexico. And he did not come back. And so 14 years later, Maria got in touch with him and started spending time with him and asking the questions that one would ask. Why did you abandon us? And the book is spare, but it has a lot of verve and voice and humanity to it. And she doesn't convict her father. She lays out everything that he's done. But in a way, she's talking about an entire nation while she's talking about her father. Mm. And so it's just a really exciting voice. It'll be exciting to see what she does.
Bulletproof Vest.
Yeah.
The Ballad of an Outlaw and His Daughter. And the author's name again is
Maria Venegas.
So I'm sorry to have sprung this on you, this fiction, nonfiction picks thing, but would you be willing to do this maybe next time you're here?
Oh, sure. Totally.